Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is baseball this morning, the Frontenac Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. The season begins soon. Sign-up begins soon, and that does what we're going to talk about, and baseball in general. Mike Zitz and Dennis Rapkins back here this morning. Morning, guys. Good to have you here.
Morning, Ted. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Ted.
We need to talk about, we're going to talk baseball in general a lot this morning, but first of all, Mike, I want to, there is a deadline to sign up if you want for Sunshine Baseball League, where you can save a little bit of money if you sign up in the next couple of days.
The league season, which begins in July, the overall deadline is June 1st, but if you sign up by tomorrow, the 15th, there's a discount. It's $165, and after tomorrow it goes up to $180, which is pretty standard for this kind of league, and is like 1/20th of what you might spend on travel ball.
Right, so, but June 1st is the
overall deadline. So and practice starts in June.
And when's opening weekend for
July 13th, and it goes through Labor Day.
So we'll get into all that as we go along this morning. But again, June 1st for Frontenac Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. It's hard to believe that we're already talking about the start of the Sunshine Baseball League season. I mean, for you, Mike, you live this 12 months out of the year, but.
No, I'm catatonic, like about 6 months of it.
But it is almost here, so keep that in mind. We'll talk about the league as we go along. Right before we started, we were talking off air about the one thing, Dennis, you and I are united on. Years ago, we were united, and I'll never forget it. It was at the end of a show, and we that morning there had been a report out of D.C. that. The Nationals were looking to trade Juan Soto. They didn't think they could sign him, and they were going to trade him. And we talked about that and thought, if you can't sign him, you can get a lot of prospects. We agreed with that. Mike, to this day, has not taken that stance. It is even more stronger today. Although I think our side is pretty strong.
It's Mike has every right to be wrong, but let's counselor present your case.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of around thinking that quantitatively you may be right, that they got some really good players, and they're really coming. They're coming on, I think.
CJ Abrams is just he's already a star.
He's not just the face of the Nationals. I think he may be the face of baseball in the coming years. Mm-hmm. So please, go ahead.
That's where
please make your case.
That's where we differ, and I think he's charismatic and really good player. But I think that Juan Soto is a generational player, and I think it's like the Red Sox trading Babe Ruth. You know that they, in this case, they got a pretty good return on it. But it's not the same as having somebody who really is a face of your franchise, is really likable, charismatic, it really can be an important part of the community, and as a superstar. You know, just. Unbelievable hitter, and he's performing so well with the Yankees. I'm happy to see that. But I think that he's the kind of guy you build around, and I think you do whatever you need to do to keep him. I say, like I've said before, give him a 5% ownership of the team. Say, look, we're going to consult with you on trades and everything. We're going to make this team make the Nationals great again. You know, and I mean, you're the heart of it. You know, that's what you do with somebody like that. But I am agreeing with you to some extent, and I think that it's helped their rebuilding process. It's going faster, but I think over the long haul, you'd be better off to keep Soto and have him be your guy.
However, I'll make my case, and then you can jump in. My one thing is Scott Boras, and I don't think you can wait until the end with Boras. You're not going to be able to negotiate with him until the very end. And I just don't think they could have taken. I agree. He's a generational player, but I think the Nationals had to trade him.
If it, it would have been nice if they could have kept him. They offered him $440 million, which at that, in all of it non-deferred. And at that time, that was the biggest contract offer in baseball. Soto's parents told him to take it. He didn't take it. And it's because, as Ted said, Scott Boras, there, he always goes to the open market. The only exception was Steven Strasburg, and that was player initiated. Strasburg felt great about the way the Nationals treated him when he had Tommy John surgery. So he decided that that's the one exception with Scott Boras. So let's look at, just first of all, I think I wish Soto all the best. I like him as a player, but baseball is a game of five tools: hitting for average, hitting for power, running, throwing, and fielding. Soto checks two of those boxes, two out of five. As a fielder, last year he was the third worst outfielder in Major League Baseball in 2023. He did a nice job hitting, but by the way, the last 2 years, he hit 260 for 19, an average of 260 for 2022 and 2023. That is not, even for hitting for average, that is not generational talent. He can't run. He can't, and that's one of the reasons why the Yankees are so glad to have him play right field, because of the short porch there. He can't run. There's less ground to cover. He has an average arm. And then let's look at who the Nationals got in return. C.J. Abrams, we've talked about, look, he plays shortstop, perhaps the most important defensive position. He covers, in terms of defensive runs replaced, he covers more ground than any other shortstop in baseball. He's only 23 years old. Yeah. Now, Soto is 25. That's fantastic. In addition, Mackenzie Gore is going to be the Nationals' ace. They got him. Right now, his ERA is, I think, 3.3 or something like that. Tremendous talent. But also, the other players that are still in the minors, like Robert Hassel, he was the Padres' number one farm prospect. Right now at AA, he's been doing really well. His OPS is over 800. There's at least two other players in there, one of which is a 20-year-old who's with the Fredericksburg Nationals, who throws 103 miles an hour. Now, the problem with his fastball is that it's straight. A fastball has to have movement. So, I mean, we can go on and on about this. Soto didn't even make a counteroffer to the Nationals. If it were, as I said, if it were even an option to have kept him, the Nationals will have, in terms of the players involved, they'll have, if things work out well, they'll have 30 years of total production from those players when you add it up all together. So in this case, I think Soto is an all-star. He's certainly a generational hitter. And but in terms of taking you, the Nationals, even if they would have kept Soto, would be basically in the same place that they are now. So
I want Dennis to represent me in court. If I have to ever go to court, I want Dennis.
See,
I've been in court many times, Ted, but we won't go into that.
20 or 30 years ago, I could recite facts like that. Now my brain is pretty much Swiss cheese, but I agree with all that. I mean, it makes sense, and I think they got some good players back, but I really think that guy is a Babe Ruth type figure.
I felt so bad since we're doing this all off the top. I forgot the fifth player is James Wood.
Right.
Yeah. Who is at AAA now, hitting .330, an OPS over 1,000. He's 21 years old. I'm not saying he's going to be another Soto, but Soto came up to the Nationals through a series of injuries when he was 19 years old. I mean, just, yeah, unbelievable. And But James Wood, and it's, we've yet to see what he's able to do at a major league level. But at a Triple A level, he's going to be up later this year.
Oh yeah,
and they
probably
just,
should be now.
Well, they're just waiting to the point where you know he's got some things they need to work on. Mm-hmm. His hitting against left-handed pitching, and his reducing his strikeout, especially his strikeout rate against left-handers. So, but yeah, of all the five prospects that they got for Soto, so I think, and then in San Diego, boy. San Diego tried to sign him also, and Soto, no, because this is what, as Ted said, this is what Boris does. And here we are at May 14th. Soto's hitting about 315 or something like that. C.J. Abrams has almost as many home runs. His OPS is almost at the same level alone. I mean, we've got a long way to go. Judge hitting behind Soto in New York. I expect Soto to hit 325 this year with 40 home runs with Judge hitting behind him. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, he'll get so many, if Soto hunts fastballs, he'll get so many more fastballs hitting right in front of Aaron Judge, who is the most dangerous hitter in Major League Baseball.
We take a quick break and come back. But again, Dennis, I want you in court with me. That's a strong argument. Mike Zitzin, Dennis Rapkin's here this morning, and we are talking baseball and Fred Nett, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC Baseball. And we'll get into that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz here this morning. Fred Nett Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC, is our focus. June 1st, the deadline to sign up for Sunshine League Baseball. For people who don't know about Sunshine League Baseball, Mike, I'll let you jump in here and talk a little bit about it, especially from the sense if you're looking for something for your kids to do this summer or get involved with a team, or maybe they are involved with a team and want to keep them playing, this is for you.
Sunshine Baseball League started with Doris Buffett. I was her biographer, and my wife Lisa and I were two of her closest friends, and Cal Ripken came down and talked to her about his idea of building fields, really, really nice fields in low-income areas to help mentor kids who really needed that support. And she put up $1 million, and the Sunshine Ballpark Foundation, which is separate from the league, raised money to complete that field, like a total of $2 million, and then built a smaller field for kids with disabilities, and is doing a lot of stuff to help kids in the community. But it started with her, and the idea of it is to build kids up. The idea is to make the help kids believe in themselves. And by Doris once said that sometimes all a child needs is to know that somebody believes in them. That's what we try to instill in kids, that we believe in them as human beings. We believe in them as players, and help them try to reach their potential. And we talk to them, working with Germana, about getting scholarships and early college programs like the Gladys P. Todd Academy, which kids at JM and Spotsylvania schools get help financially to go to school for 2 years for free, and they graduate with an associate's degree before they graduate from high school, and they transfer somewhere like UVA, and it's much more affordable because they don't have 2 years of debt there.
Yeah.
So the whole concept is making it fun, making it something that builds the kids up. And we do announcing, we do music between innings, we do electronic scoreboards at every game. And I think the kids, even the kids who are travel players, who are otherwise kind of jaded, get a kick out of it. It's a mix. I mean, it's not participation trophy. Everybody tries to win, but it's not cutthroat. It's fun, and we mostly have good coaches. We still need coaches, and we're trying to recruit more coaches. But a head coach doesn't have to be Earl Weaver. It doesn't have to be an expert on baseball. It needs to be somebody who really cares about kids and wants to help them. And we can get them assistant coaches who know all the technical stuff in the game. But that's the most important. The most important thing is, helping kids succeed in life, and using baseball as kind of a vehicle to do that.
Dennis, just the opportunity to play summer league baseball like this it's a unique opportunity that there aren't a lot of communities that this kind of thing is offered.
Absolutely,
and this is a great chance to if you're looking for something to get your kids, if you don't want them just sitting around all summer, this is a great league to play in.
No, it is, Ted, and it's the environment as. As Mike described. Look, baseball is the sound of summer. It's we're speaking here on the radio. It's baseball it's different from other sports. You've got the one-on-one matchup between the pitcher and the batter, and really it's like a cat and mouse ballet that is unique to other sports. When you learn now in today's world of technology and rushing around, the idea of the moments between pitches, learning patience through that, and as Mike said, with the importance of coaching, what we're trying to do is develop an environment where, yes, you're learning the game, absolutely, and hopefully you're learning lessons about life too, and the coach's job also is to develop an environment, an atmosphere where kids are having fun first and foremost. I mean, the three of us here have so many great baseball memories, and that is something that I want every kid to have. And this is just a very unique setting during the summer. It's a time when, generally speaking, as Mike said, and it's the season starts on July 13th, mm-hmm. and goes through the summer. And this is what we grew up with, baseball as the summer pastime. And as I said, I just would like to see as many kids as possible have similar experiences.
And this year, we have divisions starting, 10 and under, essentially. It's 8 to 10, but if a player is advanced, we can put them in at 8-7. 13 and under, with the 13-year-olds, if they want to play on the big field, can play up in the 18 and under. But this year, for the first time, we've added an 18 and over team, and the reason for that is we want to continue helping kids. It's not like when you're 13, you're 18, you're 40. Suddenly, you're adult. You're not. So we don't want to have those kids have to not play baseball anymore because they turn 19, so we have that now. Ernie Baker, the former St. Louis Cardinals pro pitcher, and Rich Weaver from Sports Connection, I'm blanking on the, he has a place out in Spotsylvania County, an indoor facility, and he runs the Havoc program for more elite players, but he has a non-typical travel attitude. He wants to do some of the same things that we do, help kids, teach them, that they make them understand that they can do more than they think they might be able to do, that their possibilities are not limited.
And, for Mike to offer this kind of situation for kids of this, especially this older age group, I've never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just don't see that. And this is going to be really interesting to see how this unfolds. But just to have the opportunity to continue to play, and the big thing in youth baseball and in all sports, but especially in baseball, is okay, in the United States, between ages 6 and 12. Baseball and softball accounts for the greatest amount of the highest level of participation among kids that age. But at age 13, that's where the big drop-off is. And it's just not because you can see at that particular time in life, there are a lot more challenges for kids and changes in their body composition and so forth. But this is also an age group that Mike, through Sunshine Baseball League, has targeted. And I've just been amazed through the years of the success of getting kids out there and continuing to play baseball. So again, you know, baseball has so many life lessons to learn that we all know about. Dealing with adversity, it's a game that teaches you persistence, relentlessness, and again, as I said, in today's world, it's learning to be present. Baseball is the idea, can you be present for this moment? The next pitch is more important than the last swing and miss with the bat, a strike. When you're pitching, the next pitch is more important than the last wild pitch that you threw, and on, whether you're on the bench or some anywhere in the field, let alone at bat, baseball is continuously bringing you back to the present moment. And in today's world, I think that is really important.
Getting on June 1st, the deadline to sign up for Sunshine Baseball.
SunshineBaseball.net.
Sunshine, I was going to ask you, the Facebook page is great and up to date, and also the website, SunshineBaseball.net. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk about a great story that came out of Sunshine Baseball last year with a number of Afghan kids that were involved in the league and some other things. SunshineBaseball.net. June 1st, the deadline to sign up. The season starts on July 13th. Mike Zitz, Dennis Rapkins here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Fredette Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. SunshineBaseball.net for information. June 1st is the deadline to sign up. A couple other things on Sunshine Baseball. Mike, last summer, in Sunshine Baseball, when you described it really well of how Doris set it up, and it has you have reached out to all kinds of communities and brought them in and offered scholarships to players that they can't afford it. It is a great story. But you went to another level last year when you were able to bring in a number of Afghan refugee players. And boy, that was just a wonderful story. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I saw one game. I'm seeing a bunch of players who didn't even have, I mean, they had sandals for shoes. And the league was able to get, and you were able to get them shoes and gloves, and they worked out so well with the kids. They were good players, but then they made friends on the team, and it was a wonderful story last summer.
Well, thank you. The late Fred German and I, Fred is a community activist here in Fredericksburg, have been trying for years to engage those Afghan kids. A lot of them live there in that area there on Bragg Road, and they'd come out to the park, and they were kind of disaffected. Mm-hmm. And we even had a little bit of vandalism because they just felt, I think they felt alienated. They felt like they're the other. And I was trying for years, giving them gloves and stuff and bats and balls and saying, here's my business card. Have your parents call me. You know, we'll let you play for free. And something finally clicked. We had a couple of moms who really helped us make a connection there. And last year we had 12 kids playing and more wanting to. And this year it's going to be way more than that. And as you said, they're cricket players. So it's not like you might think, well, they're going to walk out there and they're not going to be able to do anything. They walk out there and they're crushing the ball.
Yeah. You know,
pitchers, like maybe the best pitcher in the 10-100 division was an Afghan kid who'd never played baseball before because he played cricket. And it's just really electric to watch what's going on. And I was also concerned about maybe there might be some strangeness with the other players, but they embraced him right away, and you saw that, then jumping up and down, hugging Afghan kid. And it's really, and that's what it's all about. That's what Sunshine Baseball League is all about. And what's really, I mean, amazing to me, sometimes I start to feel kind of cynical, but that's what it's what America's about. You know, it's just, it's heartwarming to see that, and it restores your faith in humanity and America, and it works on all kinds of different levels, not just that situation.
Well, what I have observed over the last, I don't know, 8 years or something in association with Mike and Sunshine Baseball League, I have just seen Mike and his wife, Lisa, just accomplish so much. And perhaps this was just...
And Dennis.
Who's that guy? But I have just seen them do things that take the risk. And you could say, and both the financial risk, also included in that. But on this subject, as Mike said, in the Afghan kids and the transfer of skills from cricket was just phenomenal. Now, I remember one time when I was a kid as a baseball player, I was with a group of kids from Scotland, and we played cricket, and they were just amazed that, you know, here I was as a 12-year-old baseball player, never played cricket, but they were amazed how I could hit the ball, because it was just the transfer of skills. And what we've seen with these Afghan kids, bringing these, it's a different swing path, but once you learn where to begin the launch through the baseball coaching offered by Sunshine Baseball League. These kids were tremendous hitters. The form on their swings, and as Mike said, I believe in cricket, the initial pitch is called a bowl, I think, but it's an overhand motion. And to watch these Afghan kids pitch, once they learned to begin in a set position and throw the ball, I mean, the accuracy and the arm strength was all there. And the other thing is just to see the mental and physical toughness of these kids. I think they're the ones setting a really good example in many cases for American-born kids.
Yeah, I mean, I was worried about some of those kids being nervous or overwhelmed because they never played baseball again before. And all of a sudden, they're out there in the field and kind of competitive environment. And I thought, well, if somebody misses a fly ball or something, it could alienate the other players. They're instantly. I mean, they never played a game before.
Yeah.
First balls hit high in the air, left field. Left fielder is an Afghan kid, never played baseball before, makes the catch, you know, and nothing phases them because they've been through so much, you know, in real life beyond baseball.
And the big picture, when we talked last summer one time with Kelly Brown, who you worked with to pull all this together, I remember her saying she was excited just because these kids could go from Sunshine Baseball to school in the fall and have some friends, and then just those kinds of things. All of a sudden, you've got friends in the neighborhood, you've got friends at school, and it's just in big picture, it's a wonderful story.
I mean, that's to me, youth baseball has always played that role. I think more than any other sport, it's always played that role of bonding kids together, building friendships, and also, I mean, kind of cliched, but you're going back to Jackie Robinson. Crossing over different ethnic and racial and religious groups, being together and liking each other and making lifelong friendships.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier, about the memories that we have from baseball. And again, just to, once you come to these kids, when they came to this country, what they've seen, I just liken it to, I remember, and I've talked about this before on the show, when I was a kid, when I got Warren Spahn's autograph. And again, a lot of people listening may not realize who Warren Spahn was, but, you know, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But the story, what Warren Spahn had his best years in the major leagues in his late 30s, after he served in World War II. And one of the things that he said, as a matter of fact, he was decorated commissioned because of his service in World War II. It was not just some desk job in World War II, like Ted Williams, the fighter pilot. But what Warren Spahn said about World War II, he said there was, after he came back and had all these great baseball seasons, he had both of his no-hitters after World War II. He said there was nothing in World War II that could have, there was nothing in baseball that could have fazed me after my experience in World War II. Well, for these Afghan kids, when you talk about being nervous on a baseball field, what? Yeah. After what they've experienced?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and just, to, I think what comes naturally to them, culturally or whatever, is just the expression of joy and all of that. And it's just wonderful what Mike has done. And Mike mentioned Fred's name. I remember when the kids started coming to the ballpark, just from the whole time over the years, Fred would gather them together, and Fred was an educator, and he would go over them, go over the alphabet with them. He would go over counting with them. He would go over basic math with them. And now just to see this whole story culminate now and to see them actually participating in the league, it's almost a dream come
and
true.
And I should say this because I know some people are probably thinking, well, why are you making special effort for those kids? Or why are you saying they can play for free? And we let anybody play for free if their family can't afford it. But their dads were working with the CIA or with the U.S. military.
Yeah, they have connections.
And they were risking their lives, you know, to help the United States. So those people are heroes. And they're not – come here and they're trying to get established, but we should do everything we can to help them because of what they did to help us.
So just another component of Sunshine Baseball that is it's such a big part.
I'm glad
part.
You mentioned Kelly Brown's name. She is a godsend. I mean, she's a force of nature.
Yeah.
And she has helped so many people who Afghan people come to America and get established, even ones that were left behind, bringing them here. She and Operation Snow Leopard do a lot of work to make those kids feel at home. And you did a great video with us on this, and I said then, these kids are American. They love America. They want to be American. They want to be just like the kids they're playing with. And this is helping them feel like they are accepted. So.
And can you imagine that when they're sharing stories with other refugees across the country, and they're telling about their experiences, and then the local ones here are saying, well, we're playing baseball. And I mean, that is just, it's an extraordinary story.
Oh, it's a great story that I think one of these days you're going to see. It's going to be on, you know, one of these national pregame shows or somebody.
Ted Schubel came out and was there at the ball field documenting this, putting it on video. It's out there on video.
There are people.
We've already hit the big time.
We have hit the big time. Yes. No. It's MLB should just relish in this. You and I stood there last year when at the end of a game when it was two outs in the last inning. And the Afghan pitcher went 3-0 on a team, and yes. You could just think, oh, he's just not. And he bore down and struck the other on three straight pitches,
yes,
right down the middle.
No, it was. This is what I mean: the mental toughness of that sort of situation, game on the line, and of course, with that, as Mike referenced earlier, he got to experience the traditional baseball celebration after the game when you've done something, when a tight game, which, and again, that's the whole story of baseball, tension building throughout the game. And my favorite games are those sort of very tight games that are very, even low scoring. People want to see runs and that sort of thing, and people want to see offense and home runs. I've got nothing against the home run, but to me, a tight game that comes down where suspense is building, again, that's what makes baseball unique.
So my businesses, there's always the need for businesses to get involved with Sunshine Baseball. You've talked about, you know, as far as coaches go, there are all kinds of needs. that can be met. But if you're a business and want to have your business associated and you want to financially help Sunshine Baseball, go to sunshinebaseball.net and find out how you can get involved.
But we're really grateful to the Fredericksburg Nationals for their support and Rappahannock Electric Co-op. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a list in front of me, but some other businesses who've been consistently helping us do this each year. But because we do so many scholarships and we, in some cases, outfit the kids from head to toe, we need to raise more money than a typical league would. Mm-hmm. And we do that through $500. A business can sponsor a team and have a banner and be mentioned on PA announcements over and over. And on social media, we promote the businesses and companies who do that. Like, an example is Academy Outdoors and Sports, the new sporting goods chain store out at Central Park.
Yeah,
they had a day for us at the end of last season, where we brought in all these Afghan kids and other kids from low-income families, and they went on shopping sprees free. And you mentioned some of those Afghan kids not having shoes, playing in sandals, or they were going to school like in November in sandals, and yeah, they got their first pair of shoes there, thanks to Academy Outdoor and Sports. And I'm going to give you some pictures maybe you can use with this, but just to be associated with that and see that and experience that and see the happiness this brings to these kids, it's unbelievable, really.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. So if you're a business or an individual and you want to get involved with a great organization that does so much this and will be this summer, sunshinebaseball.net, sunshinebaseball.net. You can also follow what's going on Facebook. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this up this morning. Mike Zitz, Dennis Rapkins here this morning. Frednet, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. Dennis Rapkins and Mike Zitz in this morning. Frednet, Sunshine Baseball League, powered by REC. There is a, what's it called, a skills?
We have a clinic. Every summer. It's a three-hour clinic. At Fred Knott's Park, which is actually Virginia Credit Union Stadium. The kids really get excited about it being out there in the field, and we have some really good coaches, the former pros and Division I players out there helping the kids. And it's $20, it's, again, if somebody can't afford it, they can let us know, and we'll let them come out there free, but we're trying not to lose money on it.
So. Again, Mike, where is this? Where's the clinic located?
It's at Virginia Credit Union Stadium, where the home of the Fredericksburg Nationals.
So I ask that question because, again, just the opportunity to be out on that field.
Yeah. Anytime I go out on that field, I'm excited. Yes. I feel like a kid.
And the Fred Nats have let us play some of our 18 and under games there on the field, which is an unforgettable experience for these kids.
Walking now on that stadium. See, I'm a throwback. So I like the fresh cut grass and everything, but that stadium is just—it is so beautiful. And by the way, I still want to learn some of these patterns of how these groundskeepers cut grass on baseball fields. The patterns, the checkerboard, and everything—and that is just, again, to me, that's all part of baseball.
Oh, I know.
That clinic is May 28th. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a Tuesday, May 28th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And people could go to sunshinebaseball.net to sign up for the clinic and also to register for the league season.
June 1st is the deadline. Don't let that get by you.
June 1st is the deadline for league play. May 25th is the deadline for registering for the clinic.
Okay. The sunshinebaseball.net for all the information. Again, if you're looking for something for your kids to do this summer that will be really meaningful, and if you as a mom or dad want to get involved in helping out in coaching, there's always coaching need.
Scorekeeping, working the concession stand. We need volunteers. We need help, and we appreciate it from anybody.
In addition to baseball, again, it's just a fun environment. I think it's with music, and it's just done with the right touch. as opposed to, for example, at major league games, or any professional games, the loud music and that baseball is not a pump you up sort of sport.
Thank you.
Okay, we share that thought. Baseball, that is not. As a matter of fact, every once in a while, I would love to see. Anyway, the point is, at Sunshine Baseball League, there's a nice balance between that, between innings music and that sort of thing. But on the pro level, every once in a while, I would like to see a throwback night sort of thing where there's nothing but the PA announcer and organ music. And the sound of the bat. Oh, the organ music is just something that is just.
Well, we use an app now where we can do some of that stuff with the kids. We have like doing the announcing and music and stuff, and they can play organ music and, you know, dump the stuff like that. So like,
I think I've told you the story that when I was in Detroit a few years ago and hadn't been to a game in years, and it was the end of July. And it was Christmas in July. All they did is play Christmas music. And it just was, it wasn't baseball. I sat there and I just seethed.
It's right. I mean, even if you have no connection to the league, you don't have kids or grandkids playing, it's fun to go out there and watch a game.
It is. And the Sunshine Ballpark that you described, the two fields that are there, great fields off of Wicklow Drive. And just you drive back there, and all of a sudden, it's like when you walk into it. There's nothing like walking into a major league stadium when all of a sudden you see the grass and you just walk in. It's like that though when you go you drive back, go down Wicklow Drive, and all of a sudden, boom! There's this complex that you're not expecting to see.
It's really uplifting to go in there. It's up, the environment just in general is uplifting. Even if nobody's there, it kind of gives you a lift, but. When the kids are together and you're seeing what we're talking about, it's really a great experience for anybody to watch.
And somebody like you, as a grizzled veteran, Dennis, of youth baseball, to see you as excited about this league, because I mean you've got a lot of experience over the years with youth baseball, and you wouldn't be associated with something that's not done right.
Well, after all, Ted, as you said, my middle name is Grizzled. But yes, it's just the whole environment. And when we see, it doesn't matter if these kids end up playing high school baseball, if the memories that they take away from this is, it's really something special. And I'm just so proud to be part of it.
And one thing I should emphasize is it's not a participation trophy kind of thing. It's not we're kids really are in a game. They get better and better as the season goes on. It's a mix of elite players and players who are not super talented or novices. And somehow it works. It's a melting pot, cliche, but it works. And it's really exciting to see it happen.
SunshineBaseball.net, June 1st, the deadline for signing up. The clinic, May 28th. June 1st, sunshinebaseball.net. Mike Zitz, Dennis Rapkins, we'll talk again soon. Play ball. Thanks.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Again, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.